Stand by for a start. Racing. At $210,000 at Isella Dunne. Well done.
Hello and welcome to another episode of The Shortlist, the official podcast of the Federation of Bloodstock Agents Australia. And as always, this podcast is brought to you by our fantastic sponsors at IRT and Stable Financial. Joining me today to discuss all things news and issues in the bloodstock and the racing world is FBAA President, El Presidente himself, Craig Rounsfell from Boomer Bloodstock. Craig, good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning, Shardy. Very well.
Got a very special guest today, somebody that you know very well, and I think it's a name that the industry, whether you're a punter, whether you're a breeder, whether you're a casual observer of racing, I think the name Vicky Leonard is one that has become more and more known to racing fans over the last five, six, 7 years, and for great reason. Vicky has, in my view, changed the way many people in the racing industry think about brand and think about marketing, not just of businesses and farms and whatnot, but also the sport itself. And Vicky has become a very, very powerful voice and a much admired voice in the industry through Kick Collective and more recently Kick Up. And we're very, very lucky to have her with us on the podcast this morning. Vicky, hello to you.
Hi, thanks for having me.
It's been, well, it seems like a minute, but it's probably been a lot longer than that since your famous blog article when you were working in marketing for Arrowfield, off the pace, got tongues wagging. I think it was a really important piece that the industry and the sport probably needed, the perspective of somebody that was obviously very passionate about the sport, newly employed in the sport, but not afraid to tell some home truths from a new perspective. A lot's changed. A lot's happened in your life since that blog.
It was quite an interesting time. I not long graduated from the Godolphin's Flying Start program, which is one that Boomer did as well, and had joined Arrowfield. I'd been at Arrowfield probably 4 years at this point. John was chairman of New South Wales and Racing Australia, and was paying for me to do an MBA because, you know, he knew that my passion's very much geared around industry and industry leadership, and said that, you know, this is a skill set that you're going to need as well. While I was studying for my MBA, you know, I my classmates were very vocally against horse racing. And it was the first time since I'd moved to Australia that I'd come across, I guess, people that were just completely against the industry. I mean, previously I'd been hanging out, I guess, mainly with racing people in a pretty sheltered industry bubble. And the top of my MBA was when the greyhound racing ban was going through in New South Wales. And there was a couple of things that really struck. One was the ignorance of their opinions and the misinformation that it was based on. And the second thing was their assumption that greyhound racing and thoroughbred racing were essentially the same thing. And those two, I suppose, opinions and perspectives were very fresh and very new. So I went back to JM and said, look, gosh, I think we're in trouble here. If this is the overall perspective of a very diverse and, I would say, you know, academic group of society in my generation, geez, we're already in a lot of trouble. And John, being John, you know, said, well, we need to quantify it. So he gave me a budget to go off and get some media monitoring and analysis done over that spring carnival. And the results came back, yeah, really bad. It really showed that the next generation had a completely unfair view of our industry based on a lack of experience and a lack of knowledge, but a very vocal, sensationalized perspective from activists. And that's really troubling and not only disappointing, really gutting for those who work in the industry that have, you know, up early in the morning, you know, getting foals, you know, making sure that they're healthy, checking, going to track work, up on our horses all the time. And so from there, I've really dedicated my career to make sure that we are getting the right message out and making sure that that's a cohesive message, that it's based in science, based on fact, so that we are improving in areas that we need to improve, because our industry isn't perfect and we've still got a long way to go. But Jeepers, you know, we're a pretty impressive industry already. There's a lot that we do that's fantastic. And so first of all, we need to celebrate it. And then we really need to go and start seeing and finding ways that we can improve. So I met Boomer after I'd graduated from Flying Start. He was a few years ahead of me, had already successfully set up his own bloodstock agency, and we were very much on the same page with being committed to industry growth and industry development, sharing frustrations of things that were taken for granted as normal practice, which is simply not okay, around information transparency, around standards of integrity, which Boomer's brand's obviously been really weighted on. And so, yeah, Boomer and I got together to work on his business when I started Kit Collective, but we've since been working really hard on the industry as a whole and areas of improvement. So Boomer can, you know, talk a lot more about the progress that they've made in the FBA in that space, which I think is absolutely crucial to our industry maintaining its brand and its strong perception, even within the bloodstock community.
Boomer, it's no surprise, given the connection that you and Vicky have had over a number of years, that, you know, you're in a position now with the FBAA that you have very purposefully moved to lift standards in that organization and lift standards and practice for bloodstock agents. And it's nice to have the parallel with Vicky's work at the same time across the industry. You're far from alone in that drive.
Yeah, I think you know, the younger people in the industry have come through and they're starting to see these things that have always been done a certain way and have worked that way for a very long time. But like all things, if you sit back and look at them critically and start looking even further into the future and you know, the sustainability of the industry and certain parts of that industry, you need to get better. So that was the driving force behind the sort of my increased involvement with the FBAA and the changes we made there around, you know, just raising the standard to really set the standard for bloodstock agents within the industry, which, you know, I'm pleased to say that all the members have got behind and been, you know, really passionate about as well. They want to get better and, you know, through our change of code of ethics and just increase transparency and also just increase disclosure and transparency around transactions and try and, you know, we're working with the sales companies as well about bringing ideas there that our members have, which was, you know, great to see at the sale this year at Magic Millions around rig disclosure and, you know, treatment disclosure. So things like that, where we're all working together to try and, you know, raise the standard for the industry itself, which will only help its sustainability going forward.
Vicky, I'll take you back to that moment of awakening that you spoke about that prompted, you know, your research into attitudes regarding racing in that younger demographic. Do you think, in hindsight, looking back at that time and the results that you found, would you say that racing lost touch with the community, or in a way, did the community sort of lose touch with racing and lose touch with the horse? You know, I'm 40. I can remember in my lifetime going to work at my dad's legal practice in Caulfield around the corner from the track, and you'd go to the mail box to pick up the letters every morning. That was my job. And there'd be horses walking to and from track work. They were very much a part of our, you know, suburban life. And that's probably not the case now. Do you think that's had an impact and contributed to that erosion in connection with the sport?
Yeah, there's no doubt that society's changed. It's changed in many ways. But how we engage with animals is most definitely one of them. You know, a lot of younger people, you know, they actually just don't understand the process of agriculture. I grew up on a farm in rural New Zealand, so I was very close to it. And I guess, you know, having then graduated from uni and gone out on Flying Start and then come and joined the racing industry in Sydney, I actually hadn't really been around people that were that unfamiliar. I mean, basically, to a lot of these people, the horse might as well be a zoo creature. You know, they're probably more likely to see a giraffe at Taronga Zoo than they are to see a horse, you know, in a given year. So, yeah, there's no doubt that over time that's changed. And it's not just us. It's changed in New Zealand. It's changed in England. It's changed in Ireland and in America. I mean, urbanisation is a very consistent variable that everyone's facing. So I guess it just means that there's things that we need to do to bring the horse to these people. And one thing we're very bad at doing in our industry is just operating within its own little realm. And these days, everybody does have a television, a megaphone in their pocket, right? They're walking around with phones, and that's only going to increase the exposure, the amount of time that people spend on it. So we've got this tool and this device to let people in. And a lot of what we do every single day is really foreign to people. So, for example, you know, Mick, you could go to track work, or Boomer goes to the sales, or, you know, I go out filming on one of these farms and you see this incredible stuff. You might see a foal being born. And for us, we look at it and it's lovely and it's nice because we see it a million times. But for somebody who's never seen that before, if you put out your phone and did a 1 minute reel and pop that up on TikTok or Instagram, that will do more for inviting people in and showing them how our industry works than anything could. And it does what we find mundane to people out on the street. That's absolutely fascinating. They don't, when they realize that, you know, our horses see chiropractors, they see physios, they see farriers and dentists far more frequently than any human I know. We don't share that a lot, though. You know, it's sort of behind, I suppose, the stable doors or behind these gates. And that's where initiatives like what has been set up in Kentucky around, you know, equine tourism, thoroughbred tourism. You can buy tickets now and go and visit the major stud farms who have tour guides showing you around. Initiatives like that and people just pulling out their phones and being more proactive and leading with it across their socials, that's what's going to start to change the narrative and really letting people in, letting them see and experience firsthand. You don't get people visiting these farms and then leaving and saying that thoroughbreds are poorly treated. There's not a person on the planet who could do that. So we need to expose it, open it up, and make it more normal for people to see horses in their lives to really breach that divide that is so common these days.
When it comes to the transport of your valuable thoroughbreds, look no further than IRT, the world leader in horse transport. IRT has serviced the international market for almost 50 years with offices in Australia, New Zealand, Germany, the UK and the USA. Their experienced staff are with you and your horse at every step of the journey. IRT are proud to support the FBAA in enhancing and promoting the Australian thoroughbred market. IRT, your horse, our passion.
Adam Timms here. Stable Financial has been helping thoroughbred businesses since before GST started, and we enjoy some incredible long-standing client relationships. We're very happy to support FBAA and its reputable network of advisors. As the bloodstock agents facilitate trading opportunities, the stable makes sure that horse owners, breeders, trainers and syndicators are getting Group 1 business and tax advice. Please visit our website and get in touch with our awesome team at the stable. See how we can add value to your horse business and let you focus on finding winners rather than worrying about it.
Do you think there's a real willingness from, you know, people that are out there running farms, in stables, working, you know, at the coalface, for lack of a better term, day in, day out? Do you think there's a willingness from them and a confidence, I guess, to share that sort of content? Or because of, you know, that vocal opposition that racing has faced over the last 10 years, do you think there's a fearful element as well that, oh God, if I put the wrong thing up, I might be leading with my chin here?
Yeah, for sure. I think there's two things that are stopping our industry from being better at sharing our stories and sharing what goes on. The first is that everyone's time poor. Like, they're busy. You know, like, there's not a person in our industry that I see that's sitting around, you know, doing very little. There's no trainer who's got a spare half an hour to put a reel together. So the fact that they are time poor and probably not overly familiar with some of the tools that make it actually super easy to get that done is a major variable. And the second one, as you say, is a lack of confidence that they are going to put something out there and have it actually warmly received. And there's no doubt that there is a bevy of a network of people that will be negative towards the industry no matter what content you put up. And this is an initiative that we're really going to double down on through Kick Up, which is the not-for-profit dedicated to really changing the narrative about the industry, is pull together some of these social media ambassador groups. And we're going to be looking for people in every facet of the industry, all demographics as well, and be teaching them the tools to be able to be doing this quickly, easily, and are surrounded by their peers who can jump in and have their backs and support them in a constructive manner when a post gets put up. So this is a model actually that was adopted by a group called Just Farmers in Ireland. And actually Flying Star, we had our conference. It was 20 years since the first class last year, and Clodagh Kavanagh, the organizer, brought in the Just Farmers organizer. And they have these cohorts of sort of 25 people. They come in, they're from all different farming communities, including transport, you know, including vets, including all different components of the supply chain. They bring them in, they're all different demographics, different ages, and they teach them the tools to quickly and easily be putting out content and be responding to in a crisis, or be talking to the media with in a proper manner, and how to answer questions, and how to put up comments that aren't going to be misconstrued. They teach them those tools over 2 days. They leave then as a cohort, quite friendly with each other. They know each other. It's done in person. They leave though with those tools to be able to go out and put out the right messaging. And not only that, they have a sort of group together. They have a community group so that someone can put up a video and be like, what do you think about this? Should I change that? Or what do you think about this wording for a caption? And it's done with your peers surrounded. Not only that, when somebody does get negativity, then other people, as soon as you jump in and support and refute that or support the person, then that changes the algorithm to make sure that that's shared with more like-minded people. And ultimately, when you put something up and if it falls flat and only three people look at it, you get a bit demoralized. So your peers can jump in and like it and start sharing it straight away. So it's a really effective method that's been used in the agriculture space. And livestock, the live export of cattle and sheep in Australia, a group with the Livestock Collective, they've done a similar type of initiative here. And it's, I mean, they're an industry that's had a massive amount of perception challenges. And there's a wonderful woman who was an export vet who's taken it upon herself to really try and change the narrative in this manner. And I think it's something that we can learn from and really adapt for the racing industry.
Boomer, you're dealing with clients all over the world, in Australia, in America, Europe, everywhere. Your interactions with them, as well as trying to buy them a fast horse or a good broodmare, whatever the order may be, in your interactions, in your conversations, how much of a part does the image of racing, the image of breeding, the reputation and brand of farms and trainers, how much does that take up in the conversation you have with your clients day to day?
I think it plays out, you know, a lot of my clients are, you know, would be over 50 and have children. And I think it's sort of coming through in that element in terms of their children or maybe their grandchildren and the, you know, the narrative they're getting, whether it's in America or in Australia at school and, you know, the exposure there and the negative press that the media puts out, particularly that's been happening in the US around horse racing. And there is pressure on them from members of their family that aren't educated, that don't understand and haven't had that exposure to have this negative press there. So it's, you know, the tools that Vicky's doing with Kick Up in Australia and Light Up in the US, that's, you know, these are vital things where, like you said, everyone's busy and to have a platform where you can access reliable facts that you can present to, you know, whether it's friends, family, or you might be at a, you know, you might be in an event and come up with something and you can direct them to a space that you can rely on. It's vitally important. I think you saw, like in the US, we saw in California when they, you know, a few years ago now, but when they had a few of those, you know, an issue with the track and whatnot and horses were getting injured. And there was a few celebrities that, you know, that they bowed to the pressure and started to walk away. So if we can change the narrative and really get the facts out there and get a force behind that, it's, you know, it's, again, it's important for sustainability of this great industry and of the generations to come.
And it doesn't have to be just that factual response to criticism either, does it? The sort of narrative and the communication we can have via social media can also lean on that entertainment angle. And talking to Mitch Beer, trainer, over the sales season so far, just about, you know, whether his social media activity has actually helped his business. And he said, well, yeah, it had. It being active, being vulnerable, as he said it, putting himself out there, warts and all. As he said, I'm not the best horse trainer going around, but my social media activity and what I show of myself and my business and the way I present myself has attracted a certain demographic of new owners to his business. Now, that's one small regional provincial trainer who's having a positive impact. So the scale that we could reach and the impact we could have if, you know, and we do see people like Gabe Waterhouse doing a little ride-alongs at the sales and whatnot, and they get tremendous traction. The more we do it, the more we have that positive voice out there and show what we love about the sport, what we love about the animal, the reach is just everlasting.
Yeah, we did the last 2 years at the Keeneland September sale, yearling sale in Kentucky. Vicky's Kick Collective team followed myself and Dan Blacker, a trainer in California who I work with. And, just give a little bit of insight, a little bit lightheartedness about the other side of the fence, like how the process behind buying horses and the reach we got with that was quite astounding all around the world. So it's you're quite right, Mick. It's once they get that, you can catch them in that lightheartedness, and they come in, and then they start learning more about the sport. And then if you can, you know, bring them along on the journey and open up the doors to them that they won't actually get in everyday life, I think that's where the education comes and it starts really changing their perception of the industry as well.
Vicky,
what's really interesting.
Sorry, go on, continue.
There was an analysis done on the agricultural industry. AgriFutures did it. It was around perception of farming. It's a really interesting report. And one of the things, the loudest thing that came out of that, well, there were two. Yeah, one's very obvious. The first one is that the majority of Australians get their information from social media. We know that. But the second one was, if an industry isn't talking, people assume it has something to hide. And I think that's where we've been really complacent and I suppose just pretty well and obsessed and encapsulated within our own day-to-day business and our own industry. We don't share, you know, and I think what you said there before, Mick, about what Mitch Beer said and around being vulnerable, authenticity is the most important variable. The reason that the Boomer and Dan Keeneland files go mental every year is because they are just themselves and people don't actually see them like that, because when, you know, Boomy gets interviewed on TV or, you know, this professional, very serious, quite stoic personality, but behind the scenes and you get to know him, and you're with Dan, who they did Flying Start together, so they've known each other for a long time. The banter and the discussions and the conversations they're having are absolutely hilarious. And that's the reality of what we're showing is actually, okay, like you're following along as a third wheel with their day-to-day inspections. And it's really authentic. And to the point that it's, you know, they end up being very comical. So I think that's where people get too worried about putting this polished persona up when really it's people being real, and people can smell people trying to be authentic that aren't a mile off. Like our bullshit radars these days are so good. So that's where if you're actually genuine, are real, you know, some of the content that Toby puts up at the Three Bridges, you know, his passion and his welfare of the horse being at the forefront of everything they do at Three Bridges is so obvious because of the authentic manner that he puts things up in. Sometimes the spelling could be corrected, but we'll deal with that in another conversation. So I think that you know, those types of pieces, they don't have to be beautiful all the time. They've just got to be giving people inside access, you know. And if we can be an industry that is sharing, people will naturally trust us a lot more. And that's what this agricultural report, you know, really, really revealed.
Racing industry, from my just observations, has wrestled with you know, the question of how do we attract new people? And there's that been that sort of arm wrestle between we've got to make it as simple as possible. We've got to simplify the sport. We've got to simplify the data and the information, just make it so basic that anyone can walk in and pick it up. I heard a great alternative view over the summer months that we've got actually layers and layers and layers of data around races, around breeding. If you like to investigate and you like to delve into the real depths of sport and contest and how the puzzle fits together, racing offers something that few other sports can offer. So it comes back to that point of view. Is it just a question of accessibility, Vicky? And what we're talking about here, that vulnerability, that ability to show people that, hey, we're just like you. We just happen to really love horses. That might be the key.
I think it definitely one of the keys is bringing it back to the horse. But what you said before about this, simplifying it, I think, you know, you're assuming that, you know, people are retarded, you know, or people are stupid. Ultimately, it's the complexities of a sport that make it interesting. You know, you've only got to look at an organization like Major League Baseball in America. Now, baseball is actually a really complicated sport. I mean, it's easy to, I guess, understand the basics of it, just like it's easy to go to the races and see which horse finishes second and third. So you can simplify it down as much as you like, but where, like, Major League Baseball have been able to make enormous inroads is the complexity of their data and present an accessible format. So they got all the Major League Baseball franchises together. They each put in money and they developed At-Bat app. And it's fascinating, you know, it provides anything you'd ever want to know about that sport. And it makes it easy to find and easy to come across. Now, we have data hidden behind paywalls, unable to be tracked, not necessarily accurate. In 2024, how we don't have detailed timing and that being reported on the different parts of the track, you know, where what extra ground a horse is covering if it's three wide. Basic things that yachting, golf, two of the most boring sports on the planet to watch on TV, have made fascinating through the use of data and through the use of displaying that data in an interesting format. They haven't simplified it. They've just made it more accessible and funner to watch. And I don't think, you know, I don't think making things more basic is actually going to bring more people in. I think it's making the complex more accessible that's going to get you your true fans. And going back to the horse, I mean, we say time and time again, you've only got to look at what Japan does that really reveres their racehorses, celebrates their champions properly, to see a model that really works with the horse being front and center.
Like in Hong Kong, the Jockey Club, the information they provide on their website is just unbelievable. Like you can look up any horse there, what it's any veterinary records, any what exactly training they did that day. So that information, they have, you know, the best betting scenario in the world.
Adam Timms here. Stable Financial has been helping thoroughbred businesses since before GST started, and we enjoy some incredible long-standing client relationships. We're very happy to support FBAA and its reputable network of advisors. As the bloodstock agents facilitate trading opportunities, the stable makes sure that horse owners, breeders, trainers, and syndicators are getting Group 1 business and tax advice. Please visit our website and get in touch with our awesome team at the stable. See how we can add value to your horse business and let you focus on finding winners rather than worrying about it.
When it comes to the transport of your valuable thoroughbreds, look no further than IRT, the world leader in horse transport. IRT has serviced the international market for almost 50 years with offices in Australia, New Zealand, Germany, the UK, and the USA. Their experienced staff are with you and your horse at every step of the journey. IRT are proud to support the FBAA in enhancing and promoting the Australian thoroughbred market. IRT, your horse, our passion.
We've spoken about some of the challenges that the industry faces, but let's finish on some positives. Kick Up is off and running. Vicky, what are some of the wins you're having through that platform?
It's been, as you spoke about earlier, I think giving our industry the confidence to speak up. So ultimately, social science reveals that if a brand name talks, if an organisation talks, so say Racing Victoria or the VRC, you know, want to put something out that resonates, people are over twice as likely to believe a piece of information if it comes from an individual rather than a brand name. So the power is with us, the actual individuals within the industry, to change that narrative. The problem was we didn't have the accurate information to defend it. So you could go to a barbecue or be at a dinner party and someone could say, you know, I don't agree with horse racing because, and banned out some bollocks of a statistic that's put out by the activists around perhaps 10,000 thoroughbreds are sent to the slaughterhouse every year, which is just not even completely remotely possible. But you didn't, you're like, I know that's not true, but I don't have the accurate facts to refute it. So that's where with Kick Up, you know, what we've been really focusing on is first of all, giving people the confidence by how to approach a conversation like that. You know, talk rationally to people, start to challenge the hypocrisy that they'll smash a steak for lunch and then stand up there and protest the fact that thoroughbreds are mistreated in the afternoon. Like, it just doesn't really work. And the minute you start to query that, you start to open people's minds a little bit. But the second thing is you fight fire with facts, not with more emotion. And you have to have those facts. And I'm not going to lie, like some of our PRAs, it's very difficult to get this information out of them, to get this data, despite the fact that we're operating in the best interest of the industry, we're still struggling. So people need that information. And if we can provide it to them, gee, they take it up and use it. And what was awesome was last spring carnival, which was the first full spring carnival that we'd done being in operation. We only launched 2 weeks before spring the year before. By the time we got to a lot of the social media posts that we'd been tagged in, people had already grabbed our information and jumped in and defended it first, which was so cool to see. And we had, you know, now when an incident happens on the track, I'm typically one of the first people that gets called by, you know, by the CEO or by the manager to say, okay, what are my key points here? What do I get across? So people are understanding the importance of going into these conversations armed with the right information, but staunchly and proudly defending what's right. And our industry does a lot of things right. We do have people that are going to question our integrity and make us look bad, but gee, we do come down on them like with a ton of bricks. And that's important that that happens and that we celebrate it. So what I've loved seeing, to be honest, is people doing our job for us. And it really didn't take long. You know, straight away, people were jumping in and defending things, using facts, using information, and taking on that staunch protection of our industry.
It's fantastic work that you're doing, Vicky, and you know, long may it continue. Likewise, Boomer, with your work with the FBAA, I think the more we can strive for integrity and truth in this sport and be proud of what we do and the work that we do within the industry, I think the better for the outward view. Thank you both very much for your time.
Thanks, Mick.
Pleasure. Oh, yeah. Thank you, Mick.
And thank you for listening to this episode of The Shortlist. And remember, if you'd like to talk bloodstock with an expert, make sure you visit bloodstockagents.com.au. And if you want to check out Kick Up, please get over there, kickup.com.au, where they provide a balanced view to false claims that have been made about horse racing and do so with great pride.